This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, the world. This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I'm Sadie Eck.
And I am Courtney Eck.
And it's Courtney's night to talk
sure
to you.
Sure is. Yep. And you know what, you guys? We are threading the needle of potential stomach bugs. Mm-hmm. Sadie's son had one yesterday, the day before. It took 48 hours to incubate, so Sadie and I might get one as soon as we're done recording. We don't know. Mm-hmm. So we're going to...
power through. Could happen right now.
Choke back the pukes and tell you a terrible tale. Tonight I have an extra terrible tale. This is just one of those that starts out garbage and continues on to sad and awful and extremely tragic. So
tell me about it.
You have all that to look forward to. This is the, devastating murder of Ricky Knave. So Ricky was born in Peterborough, Cambridgeshire on March 4th, 1988 and lived with his mother Ruth and two younger sisters. He also had an older sister, but that sister lived with a foster family. Ricky's father Trevor had left when he was 3 years old and the family life had been described as very dysfunctional. Loved ones said that Ricky was very loving, kind, and very funny. He was also incredibly protective of his younger sisters, and when he was just 6 years old, he would even go to local stores to steal food for them when they didn't have enough at home and ran baths for them to keep them clean. Ricky spent a lot of time alone and was often seen outside in the street or at the park by himself, and it wasn't uncommon for him to talk with the neighbors or strangers he came into contact with throughout the day. Ricky's mother, Ruth, did seek respite care for her remaining three children and clearly understood that she needed to help keep them safe and at home. She had also grown up in the foster system, and part of the reason she had so many children was an attempt to create a large family that could look out for each other and give each other the love and support that she didn't receive.
It's so sad.
I know. Unfortunately, Ruth also had a substance abuse issue and was known to occasionally deal speed and so wasn't capable of caring for her children despite her best intentions. Mm-hmm. Not only that, allegedly she had used Ricky to run her drugs for her, and there were reports that she had shown up to a drug dealer's house, that he had shown up to a drug dealer's house after midnight with a note from his mother asking for drugs.
Like, what age are we
six,
talking?
Oh,
no.
6 years old,
oh,
yes.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, like back then, kids would go down to the corner store and get smokes for their parents.
Right, but
methamphetamine is, that's, yeah. There are also reports that Ruth was physically violent with Ricky, sometimes to the extreme, but those accounts were never confirmed by social services, so he was never removed from the home, but did remain on their high-risk watch list. Ricky's sisters did report later that Ruth was a very unfit mother, and Ruth has denied all of these allegations. So it's pretty clear that Ricky didn't have an ideal young life, regardless of what's true and what's not. And on November 28, 1994, Ricky got a late start for school and left around 9:30 in the morning. He was due home from school around 3:45 p.m., and that time came and went, and there was no sign of him. Ruth contacted authorities to report him missing around 6 p.m., and they arrived to open a missing persons case. There was still no sign of Ricky the next morning, and police managed to find multiple people who claimed they'd seen Ricky early in the evening on the day he went missing. So then around noon, while police were searching a wooded area around 5 minutes from Ricky's house, they discovered his little body.
That's awful.
I know. He was found lying on his back, naked and posed in a star shape, with his arms and legs outstretched. And he had been so perfectly posed that his entire body was symmetrical down to his thumbs.
Wow.
Ricky's body had also been bathed right before his death, and all of these things indicated to authorities that whoever had killed Ricky had taken their time and enjoyed killing him. The autopsy would show that he had been strangled to death with the collar of his own jacket. On the morning of November 30th, police found Ricky's clothes, as well as some playing cards and toys he had in his pockets, in a trash can near where his body had been found. Ruth and Trevor both went on TV to plead for the public to come forward with any information that would lead to catching Ricky's killer, and this backfired for Ruth massively. After her interview, several people came forward to report to police that Ruth was a terrible mother, and the entire community turned against her and suspected that she had been the one to kill her son.
No.
She became a suspect in the murder, and a rumor surfaced that Ruth told social services that she would kill Ricky if they didn't accept him into foster care.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't have any idea if she said that in, you know, hyperbolically or anything at all. But yeah, clearly Ruth has, yeah, things do not look good for Ruth. Police searched the Neve family home, and one of the most notable things that they found were several books on black magic and the occult. And they were like, hello, Satanic Panic.
Why? That's not why people get killed.
Yes, Sadie. Dark books, immediate murder.
Child death.
Yes, yeah. Child sacrifice immediately. It's 1988 or 1994. Mm-hmm. Yep, 100% occult death. So they found a book that contained a picture of Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man, which is the image of the man who is nude with his limbs outstretched.
No.
Yep, which it's is the exactly... most common. Yes. Like, ugh. Walk into every other home. If you just walked into every other home in America, you would see Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man somewhere in that home, I'm sure.
Yes.
Or Klimt's The Scream. Like, one or the other.
Right.
Or no, that's Klimt into this. Klimt's The Kiss, Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man, whatever his name is, The Scream. Those are the three things you're going to find in a home. So that's the image of the man who is nude with his limbs outstretched, and that is exactly how Ricky's body had been posed after he was murdered. Not only that, they found evidence that Ruth had been writing a novel about a serial killer and described it as, quote, a first-person account of the perfect murder, and it was about a man who strangled and mutilated a girl.
Oh, no.
So these things did not paint a positive picture of Ruth in the eyes of the police. And so based on this evidence, they formed the theory that Ruth had murdered Ricky as a part of a black magic ritual.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say no.
Listen, Sadie, I am just going to go back to my original point, which is if you have weird books in your house, you're definitely a killer. 100%
I forgot.
Right?
Yes.
They also theorized that Ruth had killed Ricky at home and arranged his body in the woods right before she reported him missing at 6 p.m., and that's why witnesses had claimed to see him in town the evening he disappeared. And I'm just going to say, too, Ricky looks like every British six-year-old boy who has ever lived in the entire history of time. Picture right. A six-year-old boy in the U.K.
Mm-hmm.
That is what Ricky looks like. Right. The little, like, flat top hair, you know, like shaved little round, like that 7-Up series. If anyone has seen it, if you haven't, I highly recommend watching it. He looks like the little boy who wants to be a jockey, like identical to that kid.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, Ruth was arrested on January 19th and brought in for questioning, and she denied all of the allegations laid out by the police. Then in May of 1995, Ruth was charged with Ricky's murder, as well as cruelty offenses for her treatment of her children, which essentially means that she was an unfit and abusive mother. Ruth pled not guilty to the murder charge, but pled guilty to the child cruelty offenses, and later said that she'd pled guilty because she'd been pressured to do so by the police and didn't really understand what she was admitting to.
Ruth.
I know.
It's just awful.
I know. She said that she was under the impression that she was admitting to having occasionally hit her children, but didn't understand that she was actually admitting to criminal levels of abuse. So I'm assuming they were like, you get mad and hit your kids every once in a while, right? You know, just being very casual about it. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. It should be a charge that's very specific. Like, these are the things that you're being charged for, sort of like in rape cases where it's, you get charged for each count of assault.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, yep. If you're going to do that to somebody, you need to be like, this is what you did, and you did this, and you did this, and we have
right.
proof. Right.
And proof. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Not just, you generally are just kind of hard on your kids, which she was. I think that there's no doubt that she was a bad mother. I don't know to what extreme, but mm-hmm. there were, you know, there was like an account that she had written idiot across, like, I think Ricky's forehead or one of the kids' foreheads. She had, you know, washed their mouth out with soap. You know, she was definitely a rough mother, no mm-hmm. doubt about it, but not necessarily to the extent that she should have been charged criminally. Right. Right. In October of 1996, Ruth went to trial for her son's murder, and the trial lasted 16 days. At the end of the 16 days, the jury unanimously found her not guilty.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that coming.
Right? I know.
Whew. What did they have to talk about for 16 days?
Right. Well, that's the thing.
Without any evidence.
There's no evidence. It was all circumstantial and a real stretchy circumstantial at that. You know, there was nothing tying her, nobody seeing her, her button wasn't found on mm-hmm. in the woods, like nothing like that. Not even like good, like, I don't even know if you can call it circumstantial. She just had some fucking weird books in her house and was writing a novel about a murder. Like,
no,
you know, not in the points of the not guilty category necessarily, but certainly not enough to charge proof. Someone with their son's murder and take her to trial. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'd go through anybody's house if you're looking for clues to a murder, and you're going to find them.
Absolutely. You know? Yep. Oh, there's a knife missing from the knife thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And, but, you know, in 1994, like, it was Satanic Panic Central. So it's just like the West Memphis Three. Like, there were so mm-hmm. many people who were capturing the Freedmen's. I mean, there's just like so many cases of people's lives that were obliterated.
Yeah.
Yes. Because of these sorts of allegations. So Ruth apparently collapsed into tears when the verdict was read, and she'd become convinced by the terrible treatment she'd received that she would be found guilty, despite the fact that the evidence was total garbage and purely circumstantial.
I don't blame her.
No. And because her friends, she had so many friends and people in the community turn against her. You know, immediately acquaintances and friends were going to the police and saying, yeah, she's a shit mother, and she did it. So she was still sentenced to she was still sentenced to 7 years in prison for child cruelty after she pled guilty to those charges. If losing your son is not enough of a punishment, I don't know what is.
No.
You know? Subsequently, Ruth's youngest daughters were placed into foster care, and she never had contact with them again.
Wow.
Ruth was locked away in the same prison that Rose West was incarcerated
no.
in. And she spent 7 years in that prison for a charge she didn't fully understand. Meanwhile, whoever killed her son was still on the loose. So police had their sights set so squarely on Ruth for so long that they hadn't followed up on any of the other leads that they'd collected. So once Ruth was found not guilty of her son's murder, enough time had passed that those leads had dried up, and any additional evidence that could have been collected had also long been destroyed, and so the case went cold.
But it's
Well, I mean, they looked at her for 2 years, you know? Right. I mean, like, 2 years go on, and she's the only person. That's it. They're not... That's it.
Why?
And they never... Yeah. You know? So, of course, without anyone else to pin the horrible crime on, the burden of Ricky's disappearance and death would always have to be carried by Ruth, as she was the first person to be accused of the crimes, and the court of public opinion shows no mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, Ruth met and married a man named Gary, who was able to offer her the love and support she'd need to start looking at the prosecution's case themselves. And they actually started to pull out leads as they dug through the documents together.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes. They also had the editor of the Cambridge Times, a man named John Elworthy, join them in their hunt for Ricky's killer. The group worked tirelessly for years to pull together information that the police had missed in 1994 and were able to build enough evidence, they presented their findings to the police.
Wow. That's the head so of the, amazing.
I know. Especially, I'm just so proud of Ruth. I would have a really hard time culling through a murder case, a murder investigation, and like making sense of it and piecing it all out. Like, this woman is really remarkable.
Well, let alone a murder of your own child, one that you got accused and tried for. You know, like the amount of trauma there is in that.
Yep.
And the fact that she didn't just go back to her drug use and die, you know, or whatever, that she was able to, needed to do this.
Or run away. You know, she could have just run away and just and let it die down and like start a new life and just hope that nobody ever recognizes her and that she can just not be known as the woman who maybe killed her son. You know, instead she's like, no, I'm going to figure this out. The head of the local major crime unit at the time said, quote, "When I listened to their evidence and saw the reviews that the police had done beforehand, for me, there were a number of lines of inquiry which were outstanding. There were a number of opportunities that had been missed in my view. I thought the original hypothesis around Ruth being responsible was fanciful at best, and the more I looked into it, the more I was convinced we actually needed to look into it further."
Ooh, which gives me the chills. Yes.
Also, just imagine being Ruth and like having somebody fucking listen to you for the first time in your life and like believe in you and be like, wow, you're really onto something. You really did it. So then in 2015.
What?
Sadie, 2015. This is how long she worked on this case. Yes. So she went to prison in 1996 for the child cruelty. She came got out in around 2002. And then 13 years later, Ricky's case was reopened by a whole new team of investigators. One of the first things that caught their attention was that Ricky's last meal had been the Weetabix he'd had for breakfast, and it had only been partially digested at the time of his death, which is a clear indication that he had been killed within 2 hours of eating his breakfast and leaving the house in the morning at 9:30.
I mean, give me a break. That's such an easy clue.
Yes. This evidence had been available to police in 1994 and should have been their first clue that Ricky had not been killed by his mother in the evening, and then she had not posed his body in the woods that night, like they'd alleged. They also found that Ricky's shirt had been covered in dirt from the woods when they'd found it in the trash can, which had also dismissed their theory that Ruth had killed him at home and then wheeled him into the woods after he'd been killed. So the trash can that his clothes had been found in had never been forensically examined, and it had also been stored in the underground parking garage at the police station rather than in an evidence facility.
Oh, that's so nice of them to do that.
Crackerjack work, guys.
Yeah.
They also pointed out that there had been several sexual assaults reported in the estate that Ricky lived in the 2 years leading up to his murder. Disturbingly, all of the assaults that had been carried out had been on children and by children.
No.
Yep. The other thing that had happened since the time of Ricky's murder was that leaps and bounds had been made in using DNA to build profiles on suspects, and luckily, police at the time had used tape to collect samples from Ricky's clothing, and those samples had all been saved.
Oh, so, well, one point, one thing, right?
One point in the good pile. So they sent those suckers in for DNA testing, and in February of 2016, they had a DNA profile successfully come back. They ran the profile through the DNA database and got a hit on a 36-year-old man named James Watson.
Oh, wow. Hit. Yeah. They got a hit. I mean, I was going to say, like, not even genealogy.
Like, oh, yeah, I know.
That. Yeah, like, they got an actual hit.
Yes, no, they figured out who it was. Sorry, I thought you were being sarcastic for a minute. I was like, no, that's a good thing, Sadie. Yeah, that's good.
Yes,
got it.
Yes. Got it. Yes.
I couldn't read the room. I can't see your eyes.
Sorry. Oh, they got a hit.
Whoops-de-doo. Oh, good for them. I'm like, no, that's awesome. That's the best case scenario.
Yeah, no, no. Yes, I agree. I just feel like it's not often that you get a hit. You know, like, that's what I was trying to express. Got a hit.
You really blew my reveal here, Dex.
So sorry.
No.
Yes, 36 years old. So a little child when this crime took place.
Good job with the math, because yes, James Watson was born in 1981, which would have meant that he was 13 years old when Ricky was murdered in 1994.
I hate it.
James Watson's, and also this was like 18 months after James Bulger. Like this.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say this just like stinks of James Bulger.
James Watson's father lived in the same estate that Ricky lived in with his mother and sisters, and he'd lived with his father after his parents split in 1990. When authorities looked back at Watson's record, they found that he had a long history of criminal behavior. At one point, Watson had firebombed a police transport building and caused nearly £1 million worth of damage, was sentenced to 6 years in prison for the crime.
I'm sorry, how do you firebomb something? Like,
I honestly have no idea. That's the language that was used when but...
Firebomb.
In 2018, he was accused of sexually assaulting a man and had a myriad of drug charges, as well as unlawful possession of a firearm, as well as stolen goods, and he had 17 theft and 11 burglary convictions. And get this, Ricky and Watson had been spotted playing together on the day Ricky was murdered. He had also been accused of touching a 5-year-old boy a year before Ricky's murder. The police had taken the report about the previous incident but hadn't done a single thing to follow up on it. There were rumors that he'd used catalog images of young boys in underwear as pornography. An ex-girlfriend said he would often choke her unconsensually during sex. And there were also rumors that when he was young, he'd killed a bird and then displayed it, spread eagle.
No.
In the years leading up to Ricky's murder, Watson had been removed from his father's home and placed in foster care due to allegations of physical abuse, which his father was actually charged for and served time in jail for. Watson couldn't live with his mother because she was living with someone who was seen as unfit to be around children, so the kid was basically fucked, and one can only imagine what he endured in his young life. Watson was constantly absent from school, he had no friends, and was a very lonely and very disturbed young man. Just 3 days before Ricky was murdered, Watson called his mother to ask her if she'd heard reports about a 2-year-old boy who had been strangled and left naked in an area off of the side of the road. None of those things had ever happened. And so it was a very strange thing to make up and then call your mom and have a conversation about. This strange conversation led authorities to believe that Watson had been fantasizing about what he ultimately did to Ricky for quite some time.
Yeah.
Police had actually interviewed Watson about the murder on December 5th, and he told them he'd seen Ricky, quote, watching a digger on the day that he was killed, and he'd chatted with him for a while, but hadn't had any physical contact with him, and had then headed on his way and attended school. Had police checked into Watson's school record for the day, they would have learned that he had not, in fact, attended school on the day that Ricky was murdered. There were also reports that Watson was totally preoccupied with the case, and a teacher had seen him photocopy articles about the murder. Unfortunately, the police were so fixated on Ruth as their suspect, they didn't adequately follow up on Watson whatsoever. And so a killer walked free for 2 decades.
Wow. Who knows what he did, you know?
Truly. Yep. Yep. He was a very, very, very disturbed boy. Ricky's sister said, quote, "They chose to shut that down and they chose to go with Ruth instead. And I think that's disappointing. I think that we were let down by the police at the time, let down by social services, let down by everyone that was in our lives that were meant to care." Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. So James Watson was arrested in April of 2016 and was questioned about that horrible day in 1994. Police pointed out the fact that Watson had denied ever having touched Ricky in any way, on the day he was murdered, which they then knew was a lie, considering they'd found Watson's DNA on the boy's clothes. Watson immediately changed his story and said that he'd forgotten that he'd picked up Ricky under the armpits at one point so that he could get a better look at the diggers through a hole in the fence that surrounded the work area. Police were actually able to track down video footage of that exact area from that exact time and confirmed that there had not been a fence to look through at that time.
Wow, that's interesting.
Right? I thought that was fucking clever.
Mm-hmm.
Watson was charged with Ricky's murder, but was released on bail under the condition that he live at a bail hostel and had to be home every day by 11 p.m. Shockingly, a career criminal and child murderer wasn't able to maintain the conditions of his bail and failed to show up before his 11 p.m. curfew one night, and so his release was revoked and police showed up to arrest him and take him back to prison. The one problem with that plan, however, was that Watson had taken the opportunity to flee the country and so is going to be extra difficult to bring back to prison to face the consequences for taking the life of a six-year-old boy.
No, yeah. No bail hostels.
No bail hostels for murderers. No bail for murderers. No bails for rapists. No bails for murderers. Like, no.
Nope.
Violent offenders, period. Just keep them. That's fine. Give them a speedy trial. Keep them there. He did eventually reach out to his sister and explained that he and a friend had decided to take a trip across Europe in a caravan. And so that's where he'd been rather than on semi-house arrest for child murder. Things hadn't gone so well for him, and he'd found himself homeless on the streets of Portugal, and could someone please come and get him and take him back to the UK?
Yeah, I bet somebody could come get him. No problem.
What a dingus, man. What a dingling. So photos of Watson enjoying time on various beaches during this spontaneous trip were plastered all over the media, and Ricky's sister said, quote, "We saw it all, the fact that he was plastering his face all over the papers, bragging about how he's got out of the country." His other sister added, "It made me angry because I thought, well, if you're not guilty of murder, why would you run away? Why would you want to go and leave the country when you had your passport taken off of you?"
Right.
Yeah. So in July of 2016, a European arrest warrant was issued for James Watson, and he was extradited back to the UK in August. Once Watson was back in the UK, something super fucking awesome happened. The CPS reviewed the case and ruled that there was insufficient evidence to prosecute James Watson for the murder of Ricky Neve.
No.
It doesn't end there, though, Sadie. Don't lose all hope.
Oh, it's gone.
Ricky's mother, Ruth, would not be deterred, however, and in 2018, she launched her right as a victim to review the decision not to prosecute.
Wow.
The ability to do that had only come into play in 2013, so just in the nick of fucking time.
Seriously, that's an amazing...
Isn't it?
...rule, yes.
Yeah, yes, I agree. Yeah, if you are the parent of a deceased child... there's certain circumstances where you can say, no, take another look, and they have to.
That's amazing.
Brilliant. So in October of 2019, the decision was reviewed and overturned, and it was decided that they could move forward with the charges against James Watson, and he would, in fact, go to trial for the 1994 murder of Ricky Neve.
Good.
In February of 2020, Watson was officially charged with Ricky's murder, and in the meantime, he tried to call into question the legality of his extradition, even though he'd fled the country to avoid his murder case and then called his sister for help getting back to the UK.
No, they just did him a favor by bringing him back.
Exactly.
He asked for a ride. They gave it to him.
They gave him a ride. It's fully, totally legal extradition.
Yes.
So that didn't work, but you'll be happy to know. So finally, in February of 2022, this year of our Lord that we are currently in, trial began for the murder of Ricky Neve almost 30 years after it had taken place. The prosecution alleged that Watson had lured Ricky into the woods, then used his own coat hood to strangle him to death, and then stripped off his clothes and posed him. There wasn't evidence that Ricky had been sexually assaulted in any way, but the prosecution suspected that the crime had been sexually motivated. Mm-hmm. The defense brought up the alleged witness sightings of Ricky on the evening that he was murdered and brought Ruth back into the equation as the potential murderer, but the prosecution argued that those sightings had been false, especially based on the evidence that had come into play at that hadn't come into play at Ruth's trial, like the fact that Ricky's breakfast was still in his stomach and was only partially digested when he was murdered.
Mm-hmm. It's criminal that that didn't get brought up at the first trial.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Yeah, big time. So Watson's trial lasted almost 4 months, and in April of 2022, the jury deliberated for almost 36 hours, and in the end, they found James Watson guilty of Ricky Neve's murder.
Good.
2 months ago, in June of 2022, James Watson was finally sentenced to a minimum of 15 years for the horrific death of poor, sweet, 6-year-old Ricky Neve.
Poor Ricky.
R.I.P., little buddy. Little sweet buddy. That's it, you guys.
Man, that's a terrible one.
Yeah, poor Ruth. Poor Ruth. Poor Ruth's other daughters. Those poor
Seriously.
Girls.
Seriously. No.
Like, lose. You all fucking lose. All of you just get to lose in this case. And James Watson, he lost massively. Mm-hmm. He had a shitty, awful, horrible life. Nobody to love him. Nobody to guide him. Nobody to exercise his demons. And then, you know, hope to God that he didn't kill anybody else. But there's a very slim chance that that's true, don't you think?
Yeah, I would think so, especially at 13.
Yeah.
You know, starting at 13. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're doing that at that young age, I can't imagine. I mean, unless he didn't like it, but that's, I don't know. If you're doing it at 13, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I can't.
Yeah.
I don't feel confident that that was, I mean, it certainly wasn't the last time he hurt somebody, but I'm pretty confident that probably wasn't the last time he killed somebody, you know?
Definitely not. Ugh. When the care that he would take to pose the body, and that's just all such, you know, if he, we don't have to get into the details, but like, yeah, if he didn't like it, he would have run away.
Good point. You know? That's a really good point. Yeah. He wouldn't have followed through with the crime, period. Mm-hmm. But he
taking
definitely
his
wouldn't.
Clothes off.
Yeah.
And,
that is a very good point, Sadie.
Oh, don't like it. I don't know if my stomach hurts because that story was awful or because I have a stomach flu now. So thanks for nothing.
You're welcome.
Yep. It's terrible.
It's stomach churning. So lots of love to Ruth. Lots of love to the siblings and fucking, you know, countless other people, I'm sure, that were hurt by this and by James Watson and baby James Watson, who needed more love and care and guidance than he received.
Yep.
And so turned into a very dark and disturbed person as a result.
Yeah, and for the police to do not even the bare minimum that needed to be done.
Ugh, that's the shit that just makes me fucking bonkers town. I understand, like, keep a close eye on the mom. I definitely get it. You know, she definitely was a suspicious individual. You know, she made terrible choices. That does not make her a murderer. And that does not mean that you get to just put your blinders on and drill into her and then get her to falsely confess to cruelty charges that then put her in jail for 7 years with Rose West after her son was murdered. Just leave her alone. Just get her some drug counseling and like a mediator to help her with her daughters.
Something. Yes.
Yeah. But instead, you're just going to destroy her life and, like, take everything away from her. So cruel. We are so cruel to each other. It's so cruel. But then also just open up the fucking folder and, like, line by line, go over the little details. Take a night. Take two. Mm-hmm. Ordering some fucking Panera bread, you guys.
Food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, Chinese food. We've all seen them eating the lo mein right out of the thing. It's fun. It's sexy, right?
Yes.
It's like pretend you're in a movie.
Right.
Gather around, plaster all the stuff up on the tables and the walls.
Get the string.
Yes.
Figure it out.
I don't think it would have taken longer than like 48 hours to pull that shit together had they like slowed down and taken their time and like looked at the other known offenders, even the teenage offenders who were seen playing with him on the day that he was murdered.
Right. Oh, I hate it.
So. All right, you guys. Well, you know what time it is now.
Name time.
Oh, you're saying May.
It's May. March Madness.
It's Toyota Truck Month. No, Sadie's right. It's name time.
Name time. Yep. Before we start real quick, I just want to put a shout out there for people that are experiencing back to school germs like I am.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My youngest got COVID 3 days into the start of the school year, pretty sure from school. And then 2 weeks later got the stomach flu. And it's just like, here we go.
Here we go.
COVID was no big deal. I had no idea. He had like a tiny little stuffy nose. The youngest gave my father COVID, but nobody else. So...
Well. Sadie was like, yeah, I can move on with my life now that we've, like, moved to our grandmother's passing. And, like, that has, you know, sort of simmered down and things have calmed back to normal. And life was like, yeah, right. Bitch. Douche. Double whammo. COVID and the right? pukes. So.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what to say to you all. Put your kids in the closet. It's your only option.
I know. It's fine. It's fine. Up
here. It's the best way to avoid a lot of things. It's the best way to avoid most things.
Yeah.
Your child becoming a child murderer.
Right.
Because they can't leave
their room.
Second, COVID.
Right. Anyway, let's
anyway.
Good stuff. Well, enough about this.
Yeah, name time. And you guys gave me so many this week that I have to split them into two. So if you are not hearing, I have a whole entire page dedicated to the names that one person sent me this time. So,
oh my goodness.
Yes. So dear listener, if you don't hear them this time, it's because you get an entire fucking page of them next
episode
time
to yourself.
Exactly.
Name time.
I also want to make a really good point, or a good point, a quick point, that I really hope that people don't think that we are making fun of these names, because I am like relishing in the fucking joy and like genius that are these names. So I just had a moment where I was like, I hope this never comes across as like, what a dumb name. No. This is fucking yes, God. Thank you, God. This is so good. These names are so good.
I'm legitimately jealous that I didn't get to have all of these names before I named my children. Like, for real.
Or myself. Like, we could go back in time and, like, encourage my parents to name me these names.
Right.
I did have a quick moment where I was like, anyway. I mean, people are going to hear this podcast however they hear it, clearly. But, disclaimer, this is fucking joy and happiness and, like, life is so beautiful and things are so great. And these names for me, like, embody
our
that.
Life.
So, yes. So, first perfect example of that. Stingray Rob.
That is a person's name?
Imagine just fucking strolling through life with your big old belt buckle or whatever you get to wear because your name is Stingray Rob.
I am so
Stingray
mad.
Stingray Rob.
Wow.
There is an OBGYN, and his name is Dr. Richard Good. I'll let you all take your own selves there. Mm-hmm. Dr. Richard Good. Steve Jobs' daughter's name is Eve Jobs.
Come on, Steve.
No, you just took the first two letters off.
Wow.
Steve. Yes.
Steve and Eve Jobs.
Steve and Eve Jobs. I just love that. I just love that. There's the heir to the HEB supermarket chain. His name is Charles Butt.
I just got a shiver. I don't know why.
I found a new home for myself on Old Gays Road.
Yes.
Old gays,
old
plural.
Old gays.
Um, Winford Herbert Teeter. Yep. Yes.
What?
100% yes. Winford Herbert Teeter.
Wow.
And how about Stanford T. Crapo? Somebody lives in Georgia, and there's a doctor named Tanya Pandya. Somebody's mother's name is Robin Robinson. That listener's grandfather's name was Forrest Lindell Puckett. You know I love those Southern names. Oh, you know I do. Their uncle was Forrest Edward Puckett. Their cousin is Forrest Dale Puckett.
Oh.
That same listener's brother-in-law's great-grandmother was Icy Burl.
No, it wasn't.
Yes. Yes. She's not sure of the last name, but she said she went by Burl.
Icy
Burl. Wow. B-E-R-L. And she went by Burl. I'm telling you, what was it? Pie friendly. Fuck you, Icy Burl. It's so good.
So good.
Robert Herbert. So cute. Hunter Green.
Cute.
Billy Willie. Come on. You're trying to fucking kill me.
Billy Willie. Poor Billy Willie. You know that didn't go well for him.
No, not whatsoever. And that's so unfortunate because, good God, that's such a cute name. Stony House. Ugh. God. So cute. Tommy Gunn. And somebody whose name is Cinderella and goes by Rella.
I died. I'm sorry. That's so cute.
Somebody knows. A man my boss knows. This is an email. A man my boss knows is named Dick and had a daughter, so decided to name her Dicka. Yeah, I could not approve more of that. I fully, fully approve of that.
Wow.
There's
Dick
a Boston
and Dicka.
Dick and Dicka. I will never get over how good that is. There's a Boston lighthouse keeper named Sally Snowman.
What?
Yes. First of all, your name is Sally Snowman, and then you get a job as a fucking lighthouse keeper?
That is a story fairy tale. A story tale. What is that?
It is a story tale. For fairies. Wow. It's a story tale for fairies. Yep.
Wow.
I'm not even done. Here we go some more. A dermatologist's name is Dr. Gross Handler.
Amen. Amen to that.
The same listener works at a high school and the track coach's name is Mr. Fast.
He made it up. He did it for the job.
There's a voice actor for the Monster High movies, and her name is Debbie Dairyberry. A couple more. Christian Booze. William Fall. Short would be Will Fall.
Will Fall.
Like, God. Okay. And somebody with the last name Weatherby, and they wrote in all caps, adorable.
So agreed. Cute.
And last but certainly not fucking least, Gay Hornet. It lives on Old Gays Road with me.
100%. Right? Gay Hornet. Ugh. Oh, God.
Well,
y'all did it again.
That's my applause. I'll do it slow. And then I'll do it faster and faster and faster and faster. And everyone erupts into wild applause because it's so, God, you're so good at this.
So good. We did it again, you guys. We did it again.
Keep them coming. And one thing that I want to bring up before we transition then awkwardly into shouty outies. We got new artwork. and we keep forgetting to bring it up.
Oh, yeah. Right? I was thinking about that the other day. Yes, we did.
Yes. So the creep head, as we affectionately refer to him, is still in rotation. And here's what how we're thinking of creep head is that is vintage They Will Kill. Mm-hmm. So if you are in possession of the creep head, you're the fucking OG. And we know that you were here first and you love us best. And I think we'll continue to sell stuff and like use the creep head, you know, for whatever merch and social media and things. But I love the new artwork. Love it so much.
I do too.
It's very like Hitchcockian. It's very like 70s horror movie. I think it better represents us and the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. I'm so excited about it and proud of it. And so.
Yeah, me too. Go check it out. Places where you look at stuff. I mean, I don't know that it's updated on much of things because we're not very good at that, but
go to the looking library. Type in They Will Kill.
I mean, we haven't updated right our social media with it or our website or I mean, pretty much just Apple, Spotify. Like, so when you go to look at our click on it to listen, you'll see it, right? But otherwise, we probably should do that, huh?
Open it well, and that's list. Part of the reason we're holding off, just so we don't jar your systems too much.
Introduce ads and a new logo all at once.
Well, I was feeling sensitive about it. It's a little overwhelming, you know. It's two changes at once. My body doesn't like change, so I was like, slow down, one thing at a time.
Yep. Yeah, don't worry. Otherwise, the content is pure gold as usual.
Much like the spring waters of Fiji. What?
Oh, that's the fever trying to think dreams of coming
something,
in.
Something pure and good. Bottled water. Much like bottled water, you guys, we are still nailing it every time. Just gorgeous. Right.
But not the bottled water that's being stolen from the natives. Right? Like Nestle water.
No, I mean, all bottled water is bad. That's why it's a bad metaphor.
Oh.
Just like crushing my jokes tonight. Crushing my reveals.
Hey. COVID, stomach bug. School, there's been birthday parties. Like, I am at my, like, come on. What do you expect?
No thing. Anyway, we're still here, guys. We're doing the best we can. Got a couple, one added episode, new artwork. I think that's it for now. So
yeah,
we will all be okay. We are doing great.
Speak for yourself.
You know who's doing the best of all? People who pay money to patrons. Listen to us.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Hey, don't forget, if you don't want to listen to ads, go to our Patreon page and click on a button. Just pay us $1 a month. No more ads. Boom. Yep.
That's just the main feed. You don't get the bonus episodes if you pay $1. You have to pay $5 to get the bonus episodes and the main feed episodes without ads. But if you just want the main feed ad-free, $1 gets you that into your ears.
Yep.
And it's a first of the month, so it's a great time to become a Patreon supporter because you don't have to pay twice. And I think there's what, like 130 episodes over there at this point or something?
So many. It's like 112 or something. Yes.
A lot. Yeah. So you have that to look forward to.
Do it. All right. Thank you so much to Dana W.
Dana Wiley, little Dana. And by little, I mean the perfect size. She's got her sights set on your prize. And your prize is already what she is. So she's not gonna take it from you because she already embodies it. And she is all about being the best self. Cause she's the best one and she don't need none. She don't need you or you or you or you or you, but she'll have you around because she chooses to.
Yes.
Phew, I'm sweating. Ooh. That made me sweat, Dana.
That was intense. Thank you so much to Isabel J.
Oh, God. Coming in here with a name like Isabel J. Isabel doing the Isabel jig. Doing the Isabel jig. Isabel doing the Isabel jig. Doing the Isabel jig. All together now, get into a circle and put your hand on your hip and swirl it all about. And then put your toe up to your nose and do a little head bob. Here she goes. And then when you put your body on out of the circle and the other half goes into it, and then you all reverse it and reverse it on back and do an Isabel jiggle. Simple. Simple.
I'm just picturing like everybody stopping what they're doing to do this.
Oh, yeah. Shit, dude. Simple. Just put your toes up to your nose and like just do a little.
Yeah.
And then jump. Half of you have to jump in and half of you jump out and then you switch. If that wasn't clear.
No, perfectly clear. It was perfectly clear. Oh, good Lord. Oh, thank you so much to Gwyneth H.
Fuck. God. Yeah, from Indiana, first you hit me with a Isabel, then you with a Gwyneth from Indiana?
Yes. Yes.
Well, shit. I think Gwyneth is a Hoosier, is also a Hoosier. What else is Gwyneth if she's a gorgeous name having Hoosier? I'm going to guess she's these things. She's a innovator. I think she's probably a networker. I think she's the one who brings the people together, inspires them, makes them feel good about themselves, makes them feel like hope for the first time in a long time, makes them feel like they matter. And she has a little bit of like lacks self-confidence sometimes in her own self, but only because she's fucking humble, right? So she's always checking in with herself, becoming a better person, bettering herself, and as a result, making everyone around her feel better, happier, more confident, and then returns that to herself and it be successful, loving, fun to be around, gregarious, and also like hilarious.
Love it.
Right?
Yes.
I think that's what she is.
100%.
Tell us if we're right.
You're right. Gwyneth. Yes, do.
That is my mouth telling me I have one more in me tonight.
One more. Well, thank you so much to Kelsey K.
Kelsey Kaya-bunga. And down she comes onto the ground from the up above, from atop the mound. And she says to everyone who gathers round that she's here and she's going to be for a while. And if you don't like it, can go fuck yourself, because she's Kelsey Cowabunga with the K, and she's going to forever stay that way. Also sweating.
Grave also mistake. Sweating. I took a drink of water right when he said cowabunga and literally almost spit it all over my microphone.
I thought you were saying the people who gathered round made a grave mistake. She was like, you can go fuck yourself. You've made a grave mistake. If you think you're going to come into my Kelsey Cowabunga's area, that's not how this works.
Shit, dude.
Only if you're invited.
That was an excellent round, an excellent batch of shout-outs, Courtney. You really did it.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm sweating as a consequence. But I love you. We really do love you. And we really, really fucking honestly, truly, honest to God, appreciate your support.
We really do. So much.
Yes.
And for those of you keeping track, we're still at the end of July, so just bear with us. We'll get to you. No, I mean, are the shout-outs if you joined to the end of July. We're still getting through shout outs in July, so we'll get to August soon.
Yep. We're getting there.
We're getting there. We haven't forgotten ya.
Nope.
Never.
Nope.
Anything else that we should tell these people?
No, I think that's it, because if they want to learn more about us, they should go to our Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook or Instagram at They Will Kill. You can go to our website, theywillkill.com, and you can always email us at theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. Rate, review, subscribe, please.
Yes. Thank you so much to the kind review that we got this week.
Yes.
And keep them coming. Like we said last week, the haters are always louder than the nicers, and please be a nicer, and please make it public. Yeah.
Yeah.
We love it when you do.
Thank you, AJ Bergens, for our music.
Yes, thank you so much.
We won't be changing that. We won't be changing that.
No, we won't be changing that. You don't think that I should write the new intro jingle?
Yeah, you should.
Spooky and scary, and sometimes the motors are coming down to the town and gonna get ya. It's time to hear about spooky, spooky murder, spooky, spooky murder time.
It's a hit single. Oh, God. And remember?
I did see a great TikTok that I just reminded myself of that was like, he's like, yeah, I laugh at my own jokes because if you have ADHD, you are hearing the joke at the same time that the other person is hearing the joke.
So true.
It's so fucking true.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. That really hits home for me.
Yes.
I never know what's actually coming out of my mouth.
Yeah. No. I'm like, oh my God. Wow. Okay. He just said that. I hope it landed.
Well, for me today, not landing. I'm just not getting there. I'm trying. It's just not going.
Ooh, they got a hit. DNA search. Ooh.
I have to listen back because I really thought I was saying it with enthusiasm and joy.
Wow.
Oh, whoa. Okay. Cool.
Whoa. I was like, Sadie, we're critical of law enforcement, but sometimes they do a good job. Like, sometimes they put together an entire database of all of the DNA of all the convicted criminals in the entire world. It's amazing that they've done that.
It's amazing. No, I really was excited.
Ooh. we love you guys so much.
We love you so much. Thanks for being here.
Every time.
My cheeks hurt from smiling.
Me too, and that's for you. And we love you, and we'll see you real soon.
We will. See you later. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'm journalist Carolyn Osorio, and I invite you to join me and my co-host, Brandon Morgan, on our podcast, Criminal Mischief. From law enforcement officers seeking justice to victims' families seeking answers, every week there's a new case and a new victim whose story deserves to be told. New episodes of Criminal Mischief drop every Tuesday.